Heralds of Hope Incorporated presents Hope for Today. Now, here is Dr. J. Otis Yoder with Hope for Today.
My friend, marriage is the first human relationship recorded in the Bible. You will find it in the first book of the Bible in the second chapter. It was apparent to the Lord God that one lone man was incomplete. There was no animal Adam had named that could be his equal. He needed someone to be beside him. God said, "It is not good for a man to be alone." And so God created a woman for Adam. He called her name Eve. And the Lord said, they were to replenish the earth. Adam said, by this union they would be one, and they would become creators. Sadly, over the centuries, this high relationship of marriage became tarnished. People want to experience a sexual union without assuming its consequences. And that is why abortion clinics operate. The reason for these situations is people want to experience the sexual union without assuming its consequences. I want to minister to you from the writings of Paul in 1 Corinthians 7. Be sure to have your Bible open so you can be ready for the reading of the Scripture. I'm talking from 1 Corinthians 7, verses 1 through 9. In my text, the Apostle Paul gives good teaching on gender relationships. Now concerning the things whereof ye wrote unto me, it is good for a man not to touch a woman. Nevertheless, to avoid fornication, let every man have his own wife, and every woman have her own husband. Let the husband render unto the wife due benevolence, and likewise also the wife unto the husband. The wife hath not power over her own body, but the husband. And likewise also the husband hath not power over his own body, but the wife. Defraud ye not one the other, except it be with consent for a time, that ye may give yourselves to fasting and prayer, and come together again, that Satan tempt you not for your incontinency. But I speak this by permission and not by commandment. But I would that all men were even as I myself. But every man hath his proper gift of God, one after this manner, and another after that. I say therefore to the unmarried and widows, it is good for them if they abide even as I. But if they cannot contain, let them marry, for it is better to marry than to burn. From Paul's writings, I have defined several direct and intimate counsels for us to take special note of. The first counsel is, strive for sexual propriety. Let there be monogamous relations. No wife and husband swapping. Let everyone have his own wife, and every woman have her own husband. That is why I was referring to the portion in Genesis, the second chapter. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, and be joined unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. That is the natural and purely human relationship. And yet, because man is body, soul, and spirit, and woman is body, soul, and spirit, there is a union of all the aspects of relationship and of existence. Let them maintain their union, the Apostle Paul says, by common consent. Let the husband render to the wife her due, and let the wife render to the husband his due. Later, Paul speaks of depriving a partner or defrauding a partner. It seems like sexual harassment is very prominent these days, or sexual abuse. They're talking about it in all levels and areas of life. One would really have to wonder how many are really pure in this matter. I can tell you what the Bible says. The Bible says one man, one woman for life. It is a monogamous union. And that is what we are aiming for. That is what the Apostle Paul said here. He said, let every man have his own wife, and let every woman have her own husband. Now the second counsel that Paul gives us is, submit to a yielded position. You know what? When anyone says yes in the marriage vow, that transfers authority. The Apostle says in verse 4, the wife hath no power of her own body, but the husband. And likewise also the husband hath not power of his own body, but the wife. The word power here is the Greek word for authority or right. The wife hath not authority. Whenever the yes is said in marriage vows, I tell you, the transfer of authority is also said. So I realize that today some movements for personal identity have misunderstood or ignored Paul's word. That is a vicious, I call it vicious, clamor to get on top, to have the last word. And through it, we are reaping some sad results. Unfaithfulness can never be justified. I repeat that. Unfaithfulness to the marriage vow can never be justified. Now, the apostle speaks about defrauding one another. By that he means denying the right of sexual union. God intended in male and female that union. That's what Adam said. They shall be one flesh. I would like to say this. Every married couple should have a family to fulfill the mandate from God. Be fruitful and multiply. It is not proper. It is not right, I believe, to deny family for mutual enjoyment or mutual climbing the corporate ladder. And now we are threatened with the philosophy that family can be any combination. You have heard it. I have heard it. The homosexual advocates are trying to tell us we don't need a man, woman, and children to make a family. We can have same-sex marriage. These same-sex marriages want to adopt children. This is not the biblical way. The Bible knows only father, mother, and offspring. That is the family unit. So the second counsel that Paul gives us is submit to the yielded position. The third counsel is seek to obtain a godly purpose. Now watch carefully. Each person is to discern the gift God has given him or her. Did you notice that? But every man hath his proper gift of God. That means that each person must have totally yielded to the Lord. The question should be asked like this. What has God planned for me? This is more important than any other question you might ask. What has the Lord planned for me? I'm thinking now of the prophet Jeremiah in the Old Testament, and in his first chapter, the fifth verse, he has a word from the Lord, which is this. Listen. Before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. And before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee. And I ordained thee a prophet unto the nations. Now listen to David in the great Psalm, Psalm 139. Hear him say this. My substance was not hidden from thee when I was made in secret and curiously wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Thine eyes did see my substance, yet being unperfect. And in thy book all my members were written, which in continuance were fashioned, when as yet there was none of them. How precious also are thy thoughts unto me, O God! How great is the sum of them! If I should count them, they are more in number than the sand. When I awake, I am still with thee. That's Psalm 139:15-18. Well, listen to the Apostle Paul. As he wrote Galatians, he was speaking of his calling when he said, I quote, "But when it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb, and called me by his grace to reveal his Son in me, that I might preach him among the heathen, immediately I conferred not with flesh and blood." That's Galatians 1:15-16. I want you to catch the truth. These men felt very definitely that they had received a gift from God. That is what you and I need to do. We need to find out what God wants us to do. After learning God's purpose, pursue it diligently. Social relations must not interfere with God's will. Did you hear me? Social relations must not interfere with God's will. So, foremost is this: what does God want me to do? If you want to know what Jesus wants you to do, then you must become very intimately acquainted with the Bible. God has a purpose for you. Now, you may not find it all spelled out exactly in the Bible, but you certainly will find some very basic principles that you will need to follow as you seek out God's will. The third counsel, then, is seek to attain God's purpose uniquely yours. Now, friend, mutual dependency in marriage can be achieved when we follow Paul's counsels. Here they are again. Strive for sexual propriety. Submit to yielded position. Seek to attain a godly purpose. Therefore, the focus of God is on the will of God for you. Now let us pray. O God, Sovereign Lord, the Holy One, look upon us in this our nation and help my listener and me and all who are involved, Lord, to think about the plan of God for marriage. Lord, bless this message to our hearts and help us to walk in the truth that we learned. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
My friend, God's word is clear, isn't it? God holds the marriage covenant in high regard. Marriage and the family were the first institutions God created at the beginning of creation. His design is one man and one woman for life. Now, perhaps you have some questions about marriage. We'd be happy to address your questions from a biblical standpoint, because we believe the Bible has the answers to all of life's questions. So you can send us your questions, your comments, or a prayer request to Hope for Today, Post Office Box 3, Breezewood, Pennsylvania 15533. Or you can go to our website at www.heraldsofhope.org and send them by the email link that's provided there. Once again, the mailing address is Hope for Today, Post Office Box 3, Breezewood, Pennsylvania 15533. And the web address is www.heraldsofhope.org. I hope you'll join us next week as we study the book of 1 Corinthians together. Until then, keep looking for that blessed hope.